Hey everyone, welcome to Final Rose Tonight. We are Lisa and Susan, two friends and moms who love The Bachelor and are still excited about Bachelor in Paradise. It seems like Bachelor Nation's pretty conflicted about this season so far. What have you heard?
Well, I have always said Bachelor in Paradise is my favorite, but it's a little trying this season. I'm having trouble really getting into it.
Why?
So many of the storylines are just stupid and boring, and so many of the people are kind of boring to me, or worse than boring, they're annoying. I don't know, I'm very, very judgmental this go around.
Yeah, I have to say I was pretty excited about seeing a lot of these people, and I don't feel like either they can be their true selves or we're seeing the best of them, because situations are happening that they're just not able to let loose and enjoy. It's really a little disappointing in that sense, but I'm actually enjoying the season. I'm liking the drama. We are seeing people becoming villains who we didn't expect. We are seeing people try and redeem themselves. Although I have to say, the more episodes we see, the more people are falling back into their old ways. And we could talk about that.
That's a good point. True. Some people that I was so excited to see Brandon, and so excited to see Serene, and we thought, oh, maybe they'll get together, and then they did, and we don't even see them. They're too boring for us to even watch.
So I have to say, they are boring in a good way, but when they do show them, he falls back into all those cheesy lines. Like, I'm very conflicted about a lot of things, and we'll talk about some of those themes in a bit. Brandon and Serene are one of them, because one, I think they're a great couple. Two, I feel like he goes above and beyond. Like, you know, when he did this with Michelle, when he is all in and there's no questions about it, but he says all those cheesy lines and he does like what would be perfect in a romantic movie. Is he for real or not?
I don't know. It's exactly the same as Michelle. He's obviously the type of guy who falls really hard, really quickly.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like maybe they knew each other beforehand. I don't know. They're so in love so quickly. There's no excitement. There's no drama. There's no tension. There's nothing to look forward to.
I know, which is a good thing, right? That's what they want as a person in the relationship.
True.
That's what you want. You know what? She complained that people didn't show up to her birthday when she was younger, and he did this whole party with everybody coming and singing to her with a birthday cake. Their date was cute-ish.
And then he had to tell us how this is important in a relationship. You have to listen to all the little things. And I'm like, thank you for explaining that to me, Brandon.
Right. I mean, I'm conflicted because he's right. And all of the things he's doing are right. He just feels smothering to me. And I don't know. She doesn't seem to feel it at this point. She seems to love it. But that's an example of where I'm conflicted, because I really like them and I'm happy for them. I find him to be a little much on the rom-com side.
I wouldn't be able to take it myself.
Me either. It would be annoying.
But fine. They're fine. They don't really show them very much. I don't know. Why does everyone have a birthday in the few weeks?
Wait, you're seriously right. It's every day, because it was Genevieve's birthday. Well, yes. It was Lace's fake birthday.
It
was Genevieve's birthday. Then it was Justin's birthday, like the next day.
Correct.
She came back from her date with Aaron and he said, don't I get a kiss for my birthday? So then it was his birthday. I don't even remember
who else.
And then
Jacob and Jill have birthdays like August 3rd and August 2nd.
Oh, they were so excited.
I don't know if they're going to record into that date, but then I'm sure we'll be celebrating those birthdays. A lot of birthdays
or a lot of fake birthdays, so that we can celebrate something and it gives us something to watch. All right. So before we jump too far into the show, I know there's a few little nuggets of Bachelor Nation news. What do you got for us?
The big news is Claire Crawley is engaged to a guy named Ryan Dawkins. And they were Instagram official last month, and now they're engaged.
I mean, what a surprise. This doesn't follow any trends for her.
No, it really does.
I know. So she posted, he has held me in my darkness, loves me through my healing, and we now celebrate the light together. That was the caption of the photo showing him kneeling as he proposed. And she said, this was the easiest yes, in all caps, of my life. I mean,
how many times has she been engaged now?
I don't know.
Three?
That's a good question.
Four?
I don't know how many times she's been engaged, but I feel
I give it, you know, a solid 4 to 6 months.
She also falls hard and fast, mm-hmm. like Brandon. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had the opportunity to be engaged. I feel like his will last longer than hers. How long do we give this relationship for Claire?
4 months.
4 months. Okay. I'll say 6 months. So we'll check back in with everybody and we'll see.
I don't think they're actually going to get married.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, after 1 month, seriously, she's either super desperado or there's something else going on.
She just was not in the limelight for a while and this is all she could think of. Oh, let's get engaged.
Back in the news again. Yeah, that definitely could be.
Anyway, that was the big news. I really don't have much else, although there have been a lot of postings by various people on Bachelor in Paradise, which is kind of postings on social media. It's kind of unusual. We didn't used to see that.
Yeah, I feel like they went dark during their season a bit. I mean, maybe somebody would be managing. Certainly over the last couple of years or seasons, we've seen more. And these posts are not so nice to the show.
I agree. I think that the production is more involved in the little minutia of everything that's going on. Much more involved than we ever thought.
Yeah, I feel like a lot more is staged now. So I was trying to figure out, is it me noticing it more or are they doing it more? Was I oblivious before? I don't really know.
But probably a combination.
It's frustrating. And the fact that people leave the show, like Teddy, we talked about last week, in the quote that she made on Instagram was basically like they're crossing a line. You know, she was essentially blaming production. And there's been a whole bunch of others that have come out in the same vein. So it seems like...
We never used to see stuff like that.
No.
I actually, when I first read that, Teddy's post, I thought, she's going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, what's she going to get? A bad edit? There's nothing to edit for her. You know what I mean? Well,
I don't know what the contract says, but I think they could, in theory, be sued in some way.
Oh, potentially. Yeah, I wonder if there's a fine line. Yeah, I don't know. Or she's getting a slap on the wrist.
But you pin the nail on the head, though. A bad edit, I think, is held over their heads. You better, you know, do what we say.
Jeez. We're going to rake you.
Like Sally, she clearly got a bad edit. I don't know.
Oh, that was insane. Well, one other thing, and then we'll jump into this, because I do want to talk about Sally. They just extended the season another 3 weeks, another 6 episodes.
They're trying to kill us.
Seriously, people. We're doing this voluntarily. This is mean.
I was going to say, when you're paid the big bucks, we'll have to just, you know, deal with it for a few more weeks.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot. So interestingly, we were thinking maybe Jared and Ashley were there because they needed to fill time and there wasn't enough content. So what is it that they feel like they need to edit in to extend it for that much more time?
Well, Jared and Ashley took one quarter.
Yeah, 23%. Yeah, I saw. Thank you, Bachelor Data.
I don't know why they're doing that. I don't even understand what about them. I feel like they're sort of Bachelor royalty and everyone sort of likes them. Well, they did before this week, at least. What about Ashley and Jared made them think that they belonged in this week?
I have a few theories. Well, first of all, this is another one I'm conflicted on because... Mm-hmm. They came on, I was like, oh, this is fun. And then they stayed and I was like, this is annoying. And they even got a date card, which took away from somebody else's date card and they certainly didn't need. So they come back down there to try and rekindle their romance and, you know, go into the boom boom room and, you know, get intimate. But part of me was excited to see them at first and then annoyed. And then every time they came onto the screen, I was annoyed. But then when I watched them, I was entertained. And so I really had this sort of push-pull. And I think people are very polarized by this whole situation. They either loved it or they didn't love it. And I would say most people didn't love it because, to your point, it was 23% of Monday's episode, which is a lot of airtime that you're taking away from all the developing relationships. But my other question was, are they teeing them up for a reality show? See how they would play.
That would be a very good point. I could see that. And I feel like at this point, it's not going to be a success because I don't think people are really enjoying watching them. However, think about what we've seen of them. They came on. Okay, fine. We're happy to see them. I thought they were just going to be there giving advice between one commercial and the next.
Right.
They were going to be on the whole week. They even have a little spot in the beginning, you know, when they play the song, that, you know, it was kind of cute. They're playing in the sand. And someone throws them a baby, which is supposed to be their baby. I guess that was kind of cute, but why are they like you're watching it saying, oh my goodness, are they regulars for the rest of the season? Because like I was talking about before, they're boring. Worse than boring is, here's a major theme. She is farting. Okay. Or she's peeing in the ocean. Yeah. Or they're in the bathroom together. Like,
right. Or he's snoring because he fell asleep when they were waiting to have sex.
I don't need all of that. I can find them entertaining and relatable in other ways. If that's all they can show about them to make them seem cool and relatable to me, I'm not going to watch that. That's not entertaining to me.
It's a little bit like the Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey type of relationship. Mm-hmm. So I hope they don't have a reality show, because I feel like when couples do that, it tends to ruin their relationship.
Yes, that's
true. As I said, I was annoyed when they would come onto the screen, but then I was kind of entertained by them. I didn't mind it as much as many other people did, but I completely understand why people didn't love them. The other question is, if they were teeing them up for a reality show and they got a bad response, part of the bad response is because of the expectations. Like, people are there to watch couples getting together, not married couples farting. So does it mean that it's going to be a disappointment if they do it? It's really hard to know, because this might not be the right launching pad.
Well, and the other thing is, a huge like underlying theme of what they're saying is, hey, you single people that are trying to find love, this is what married life is like. We fart sometimes and we go to the bathroom a lot. And I mean, it's sort of depressing if you are Lace and Rodney and you're looking at them thinking, well, they probably are thinking, who the heck are you people? But if they don't know them, they can't possibly be entertained by them. But let's just say,
I think they do. She's got that podcast.
And, all right. Yeah. So they're looking at them and they're thinking, this is what married life, it's not making it look very desirable.
But I don't know if I agree with that, because when they see them, they're like happily hanging out on the beach. Like, the people on the beach are not seeing the farting in the boom boom room and like her on their one-on-one date, you know, trying to relive their romance, you know, from way back when on The Bachelor. They don't see that. That's for the viewers. So I think what they're seeing is like kind of a cool couple hanging out happy and like, wow, this could really work.
Well, I think that goes to your point that they're probably testing out some kind of reality show.
I think
because
so.
They're not really useful on the beach. They're sort of depressing, if anything. So I think you're right. They're probably thinking. And I heard that once upon a time there was a possibility that Ashley and her sister might have a reality show. So maybe it's something to do with that. I've seen just about enough of them. I don't really fault them for taking away a date, because I feel like the producers can give out as many date cards as they want. And it's not their fault that they used up a quarter of an entire episode. It's not Ashley and Jared's fault. Producers decided, well, this is super entertaining. Let's spend a whole huge chunk of this show on this.
Yeah. But they might need to rethink their production staff in general. I just feel like there's been so much criticism of the way that they've handled things over the last several seasons. I think maybe it's time to shake them up a little bit, but that's another conversation. Although, I guess, speaking of producers, because we did refer to Teddy, you know, after she left posting those things. So when they open the show this week on Monday, sort of replay her leaving, Rodney's bummed. He sits around for like the whole day. I saw an interview with him and he was saying he genuinely did not know what was going on. And so
what was he doing all day?
I don't know. They must have said, stay over here, because he's not going to just go sit by himself when he gets there. He's going to be like, let's party, you know, like, I want to hang out with everybody. So I thought that was really weird.
Strange that it was, they even said it was at least midnight when he came out.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Like, was he locked in a room for 8 hours or something?
I know they showed him looking pensive somewhere, like in a distant part of the beach.
Maybe he wasn't looking pensive enough. They had to have many retakes or something. I don't know.
They had to have told him something. So obviously he can't give any of that away, but I would love to know like the real behind the scenes, like what was really going on.
I would say we'll have to wait a couple of years, but maybe he'll post something.
Right. Apparently those rules don't apply anymore. So Rodney's bummed. And then Jill decides that she's going to make a play for him. And so she's sitting on the bed talking to everybody about how she's going to make a play for them. And in the meantime, Loose sweeps in and like goes for it. What'd you think of that?
Well, the first thing I thought was, Jill was abnormally upset, like extraordinarily upset for Rodney. They kept showing her over and over how horrible she felt for him. This is so horrible. Poor Rodney. It was really excessive. And then she says that she's going to, you know, make a play for him. And I thought, well, then you should be happy that Teddy left. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, she couldn't get there fast enough. Lucy Lace was on the scene.
She was on the prowl, that one.
They're a I don't know about that couple. I don't know about her with anyone. So it's hard for, you know, it's hard for me to imagine her with any of these guys, but Rodney even less so, because he's just so sweet and jovial and she looks sort of hard and jaded.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very strange pairing. Although some of it is just like convenience factor. Like you're here, I'm here. Let's do this, you know? Well,
yes. And we know it's a game and they want to get roses and, you know, whatever. I guess it's fine. But yeah, I can't see that lasting. I actually think Claire's engagement might last.
It probably will. Well, Wells, I don't know if you saw Wells's comment. He said, well, there's always one couple that everybody questions. And then he said, this year it's Rodney and Luce. I love that he used Luce. So yeah, they showed them kind of on and off throughout the couple of days. Like she's giving him a massage and asking for a rose he was asking for a rose.
Every time she's interviewed, I find it hard to understand her. She's like slurring her words a little bit. Is she just drunk all day, every day?
I mean, wouldn't you be? Yeah. Like where you are. What else are you supposed to do? True. You sit around and you drink. There's nothing else to do.
Everyone else seems to keep it together a little better. I can understand everyone. She's too mumbly. I think she is excessively drinking.
She's probably excessively drinking. I think anybody's game for anybody, and whoever's free at that moment, they just kind of go for it. And that's what I feel like happened between the two of them.
Yeah, but they seem like they're together for a little while, at least.
Well, until next week's previews. Then not so much.
At least until next week's previews.
What was your view on Sierra and Michael? So if we rewind a little bit, like they were really connecting. And then she started talking about scenarios with James, his son, and like being a stepmom and like how she would handle it. And then she set up that whole stargazing, you know,
which
situation.
Was so sweet.
It was so thoughtful and like bought him and James each a star, or whatever that was. I thought it was really sweet. What was your view on how all of that went down?
Well, I really like her and I really like them together. I thought they were way more entertaining than Brandon and Serene. So I was enjoying their relationship. I was enjoying watching them and listening to their conversations and stuff. And the more she started talking about becoming a stepmom, I did sort of think, maybe you should take step back. Maybe you should take a look. I mean, how many days have they even been together? I know it's all day, every day, but it's been like 5 or 6 or something. And then when Michael was having a conversation with Wells and he was saying maybe something's missing. I thought it was interesting. The producers clearly had this juxtaposition between him saying, maybe something's missing. And then she's going full force on becoming a stepmom. So I wasn't really surprised. I will tell you what did surprise me is Michael said, whether this was true or not, he said that their relationship was maybe moving a little too quickly for him and he wasn't really ready. He was still sort of in the grieving process and he wasn't really ready for such a serious relationship yet. And he felt badly about it and everything. Didn't you think that maybe he should be the one to leave?
So there's a lot of chatter about this on social media and I think people feel very like there's a lot of differing opinions on this. So I would say yes, and I don't know that he's not ready for a relationship. Like, I think he probably is ready for a relationship and I think he was there for it. But I think when she started putting herself in the stepmom, like it becomes too real too soon. Like, I think you need to get to know each other and understand what the other's about. And like his kid's part of who he is, but it's part of who he is. And so I feel like when you're falling in love with someone, yes, you need to fall in love with their family, but also like it's too fast. And so if I were him, I would feel the same way because he might leave with someone, right? And actually want to get engaged. But I think she was a little bit putting the cart before the horse. And I think that probably freaked him out. So had she taken things a little slower, just like enjoyed the moment and enjoyed paradise and allowed things to be very natural, I think although I really never saw them together, I'm not going to lie. I really love both of them. I'm a huge fan of her and a huge fan of him. Like, I would love to see her find the right fit. I did not see them together, but I actually don't blame him. So when he said something is missing, there probably was, because she's sort of forcing him to like think about the scenarios in the real world. And to your point, after 5 or 6 days, it's not enough. So I see both sides of this. I don't think people were saying he should have left. Why is she the one to leave? She should be there to explore their options. Sure, she said she was only there for him, but she should have been able to explore other options. But I don't think he needed to go home because he's really not ready for a relationship. I just think she moved way too fast and was like fast forwarding to this is what our married life would be. And I'm going to be a great stepmom.
I don't think he's really not ready for a relationship.
Right.
I think he is, just not with her. But he just said that, I guess.
Yeah. And she scared him off, I think, a little bit.
When she came up, I mean, that idea was terrific.
It's wonderful.
Constellation and named after your family, you know, all that. It was so sweet. But I think with each, as she was reading about it, each word she said, it was mentally moving backwards. He was not ready for that.
Yeah. Which I don't blame him. So the other big, I guess, cliffhanger from the week before was the double date between Genevieve and Aaron and James and Shanae. So they come back during Monday's episode. Like, it feels like it was so long ago, doesn't it?
This week.
I know. I'm like, was that 2 weeks ago at this point? I mean, time is moving like crazy. Interestingly, they come back and she basically goes and talks to Justin. Genevieve goes and talks to Justin. Now it's Justin's birthday. And she says, listen, I had a really great time. I want to explore. She was trying to let him down easy. You could tell, but she wasn't being super clear with him. And he was like, but don't I get a kiss for my birthday? And so they end up kissing and Aaron's watching the whole thing. What did you think of that situation?
Well, I felt badly for Aaron. However, I don't know. I don't know how Genevieve thinks. Her mind is in a different place than mine. I mean, she shouldn't have kissed him if she didn't like him at all. I did think, oh, well, this is going to be a love triangle that's going to last for a little while because clearly she likes both of them. I was conflicted.
But I don't know that she did like both of them. You know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like she didn't. So why she kissed him, I do not know.
Well, I think her big excuse in this whole thing was like, I didn't feel wanted. I think she was kind of like, Aaron made me feel I'm very affectionate. Aaron made me feel very wanted and special, which is true. Like you could see the difference. And then she said something to him like, you know, when you woke up this morning, it took you this long to talk to me and you only kissed me one time. And he's like, we're counting kisses now. And she like flipped out. What are you talking about? I'm like, seriously, you just did do that. So I don't know if you're listening to yourself. And I've said this last week too, like he's so mature and logical and sees things for what they are. And she was emotional and flying off the handle and not making any sense. And then she's blaming the whole situation. Like we're talking in circles. I'm done. You know, like that's how she works.
It was extremely difficult to watch and annoying.
Really frustrating.
However, I have to just pipe in because you know, I'm a huge Aaron lover. He does seem a little more mature than I remembered him from past year.
Aaron?
Yes.
I feel the same way. I really like Aaron. Yes. This is another place I'm conflicted because I really love Genevieve and Aaron together. I can't stand her when she's talking to Justin. I don't like how she acts. And I also don't like how she acts with Shanae. Like they're two bullies, but we'll get to that in a minute. And then Shanae's like copying her, saying to Logan, like, we're talking in circles. I'm like, okay, you're just taking Genevieve's situation and pretending it's yours and applying all of the principles, but that makes no sense. But anyways, to your point, I also love Aaron. I feel like he's matured. I really like them together. I love the way they look at each other. I feel all the feels. And then I see how she treats Justin and I'm like, seriously?
She doesn't like Justin anymore.
Right.
I mean, I felt that from, you know, the get-go here at the beginning of this, she doesn't like him anymore. She's totally into Aaron.
Yeah.
Why she can't just say, hey, Justin, sorry, I'm into Aaron now. So she is giving him like these little nuggets of things you're doing wrong.
Right.
And that's not right. He's not doing anything wrong, but she's trying to latch on to you did this wrong and you didn't talk to me in time and you're not showing me the proper affection. She should just say, sorry, I'm moving on.
I agree, because then they go in circles. It wasn't a good use of time. And then they're nitpicking back and forth on these things. Then they kiss. And then she's like, I need to sleep on it. Then she felt genuinely confused. But I loved then how, you know, she and Aaron end up connecting again. Like she felt bad and like went to find him. He was in the shower, comes out and talks to her. And like, that was a really honest conversation.
Nicest body wash.
He did. He's like, I gotta smell good.
He's so cute. I love him.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people do not like him. I am also a fan. I don't know why, but I really am a fan. So it was nice that, you know, he forgave her and all was well. And then the next morning, they come to breakfast and like they're all over each other. And Justin's like, WTF. Like, we didn't even have this conversation
right in front of Justin.
It was rude. Yeah. I'm bummed about this whole thing because I think Justin is amazing. I feel like he deserves somebody incredible. And I know like Sally came down for a hot second, which we should talk about, but I feel like he's going to end up going home without being given a chance. I would love to see him as The Bachelor or something with more visibility. Cause I just, I like him more than I ever thought that I would. I looked at him as like this fun, funny guy on social media, but like, I'm really proud of how he handled himself.
Oh, I do like him.
Like my son.
Thinking of the previews, looking at the previews, I don't know if he's going to survive the next rose ceremony.
I don't think so. And I'm really sad about it. Justin, we hope the best for you and we hope you find somebody awesome.
We know you're listening. We know. We just want to tell you so much to offer. Don't give up.
Don't
Genevieve
give up.
Was not worth you.
Right. And he knows that. He's like, I'm so not in her anymore. He was talking to Andrew. I'm like, because I mean, I don't even know why he lasted as long as he did, because she she didn't act like a rational person at all. I mean, it was literally they had the first day. And then after that, there was nothing redeeming about their relationship. So I thought that was really odd. So I was really hoping that perhaps Sally could be a good person for him on the beach. So finally, Sally shows up. By the way, she looked a little bit like a droopy Anna Nicole Smith when I saw her.
Which Anna Nicole Smith was kind of droopy. Sometimes.
She was droopy. I mean, so yeah. Poor Sally. Yeah. So the suitcase is there. Sally comes down the stairs and like it was the Inquisition immediately. But this is another example where the producer set her up to fail because Wells has story time and is talking about how she didn't get on the plane and she kept talking to her ex and going back to her ex and the producer's in the trunk and she missed three flights. And so all they're doing is basically bad mouthing her and putting all these thoughts in everybody's head. So immediately Shanae and Genevieve are like, why are you here? Why were you with your ex? What was going on? You lied. You said you had a work trip or whatever. You said you had to work. And she's like, well, I work with him. So I don't know.
Yes, this is all true. We were set up. We were prepared to not like her. Everyone was. Although she didn't do anything to me to redeem herself in my eyes. She had multiple reasons why she wasn't on the flight. She contradicted herself numerous times, I thought.
Yes, but she also said
to follow. It was so choppy. It was so edited oddly. Yeah. There was no way to really know, but I don't believe a word she said.
Yeah, I don't think she was necessarily truthful. Like she basically said, I don't want to talk about my ex. Like you promised me, producers, that this was off limits and this wasn't going to be a thing. And now it's a thing and I don't want to be here. So if they worked that hard to get her there and then all they did was talk about the subject she didn't want to talk about, I don't blame her for leaving. I don't know if I like her or not because I don't know her enough at all. Like she could actually be a really sweet, fun person. And I'm bummed that we didn't get the chance as the viewers to get to know her. And I know this was all a setup. I feel bad for her because now it makes her look bad. And listen, she's going through stuff, you can tell. But I would have loved to have had a day or two. So would Justin.
I was going to say, I feel bad for Justin who missed out even getting to meet her really and talk to her.
Well, I think they're together at Stagecoach. So I don't think it was that. But that was his rose.
Reconnect with her.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know. I didn't like her. I was actually shocked that she stayed for... I was shocked she left. I'm like, whoa, she was here for 2 minutes. She's leaving. And then I was happy she left.
Yeah, it was fine. It was neither here nor there. The thing I didn't love about that whole scene was how childish everybody else was acting. Right. Like I didn't like the way I already mentioned Shanae and Genevieve. Even James, like they were all getting in on this childish gossip. And I was like, come on. Like none of you even know her. This is all speculation based on what you were told from Wells and whomever else.
Right. And I don't believe a word Wells said either. I mean, who knows? What was the truth? Remember, she didn't come to the door because she had explosive diarrhea. I mean, why would you even put that in your story? They were mad at her for some reason. I don't know. They just gave her this awful edit.
I know. And I actually feel bad for her. Like she was barely on and she's, I don't know if she's hated, but I'm not a fan of what they did to her. Granted, she probably wasn't telling the truth, but on the other hand, like this is not a story that she wanted to share with anybody.
Right. And on the other hand, yes, she's probably not telling the truth, but why did Genevieve and Shanae bully her? Like why did
I didn't understand why they care.
Hasn't liked her. She's been complaining about her since they found the luggage. And I remember I might've said this last week, like what does she have against her?
Right.
She doesn't know anything about her.
The only reason I had originally thought that she was jealous is because of Justin. Because if Justin hooked up with her at Stagecoach and Genevieve felt threatened, fine. Like, I understand. You don't need to act like that. they really were bullying her. I just didn't understand why they were so relentless and rude.
She doesn't like Justin anymore.
Correct.
She's moved on to Aaron.
So why does it matter to her?
Can't be happy for Justin to maybe have another opportunity for Rose.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't understand them.
Maybe they felt threatened that she would steal their guys. I don't know. Whichever guys
so
they
immature.
Chose. Yeah, I really did not
like that.
And
let's talk about them. Now they're BFFs. They're more alike than we ever could have dreamed.
I thought the same thing. I was really surprised. And they're sort of copycatting each other. The whole situation happened with Genevieve and Justin. Genevieve goes back and is replaying the whole situation. We were talking in circles and it was so frustrating. And he's not affectionate enough. And he's not this enough and that enough and not paying enough attention to me. Meanwhile, then Shanae decides that this is now my situation with Logan, even though it's nothing like that. Because Logan has never not paid attention to her. Logan is always seemed to be making an effort with her. She didn't even come and talk to him after the date.
Right.
She didn't even say anything to him. And finally.
Right. He's waiting for her to say, oh, you're still in the running, or sorry, you've been replaced or something. She didn't give him any update about the date.
Right. And then she was getting mad that he wasn't pursuing her. And he was really into her. The whole thing confused me. So then she's trying to favor James and trying to make the situation exactly the same. But then Logan ends up setting up a whole, so they have this conversation. Yes. And then she's like, we're talking in circles. I'm done.
She said that there was no circles.
There were none.
5 second conversation.
Well, I know. And maybe it was the editing, but I agree. I thought he was actually being really nice and honest and there was no circles. Right. I mean, he was like, this is how I feel. And you didn't tell me anything. And she's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm like, okay.
I don't even like Logan. And I liked him at that moment.
I did.
Oh, you poor thing. She's kind of being a bitch.
I did too. And then later on, I think it was on Tuesday's episode, he decides to set up this whole, it was actually really cute. I didn't know he was a scuba instructor or a snorkeling instructor. And he went and found treasure, it was really cute. So trying to create this moment. And then she was so into it at the time and really excited. But then in her interview, she said she was still thinking about James. But I don't see the connection between her and James in the way I see it with Logan. Is that editing or is that me?
I don't know. I don't know. It's really hard for me to think of Shanae, even though I'm watching it and I'm seeing her on Bachelor in Paradise and she's being, for lack of a better term, a normal person. It's hard for me to forget about how wackadoodle she was during the season.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere deep down, she's crazy. So I don't know really what I think about her. I cannot, in my wildest dreams, picture James having a long-term relationship with her. Because I can't really picture James having a long-term relationship with anybody but Aaron. So it's hard for me to imagine that. She seems kind of into Logan. I'm hoping Logan is the winner in that triangle.
I feel like he will be. It's like I like James and I love James and Aaron, but I feel like I don't know James really other than what he posts on social media because I follow him, but there's no depth to it. And I'm sure he's actually a wonderful guy. I just don't feel like I know him. I wish we could get more opportunities to get to know him a little bit better.
Yes.
And I don't know.
She's obviously attracted to him. Like you said, she says, while I'm with Logan, it's hard not to think about James. She doesn't say, while I'm with James, I'm thinking of Logan, but she is conflicted. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I like Logan. Okay. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they seemed good together. I feel like he's really into her. He's giving her a chance. He's saw what she was about on her season. It's like, you know what? I don't know why he would think this, but he was like, she's misunderstood. So that was fascinating. The other big storyline from Tuesday's episode is Pizza Peter.
Oh, I was trying to block that out.
I know. So I was sad. You know how it's all going to end. You have to watch the whole thing. He comes in. By the way, Casey is hysterical. Some people didn't appreciate his narration, but I did too.
Entirely.
He's like, he's going to tell you about his pizza business 74 times. He's going to talk about he's the pizza king and changing lives one slice at a time. And I mean, he's so predictable. So
even when he's not talking about pizza, he's using little pizza lingo in his conversation.
It's disgusting. I can't stand it.
Absurd.
So he comes in, everyone hates him. And everybody knew who he was. Except for Brittany. So he's talking. Well, I would say he probably did a good job of not talking about himself as much in that get to know you part, right? He pulled Victoria and he talked about a pizza business. He pulled Shanae, talked about the diamonds on his bracelet.
Right,
I was like, he was pathetic and she was super grossed out. And then with Brittany, you know, I think he did talk about his business. Oh, he did say changing lives one slice at a time, I think.
And he said his friends call him Mr. Hospitality.
Yeah.
He couldn't not brag. In every one of those little conversations, he was bragging.
It was so disgusting.
Like, she liked his eyes.
Well, he does have beautiful eyes. I mean, if you don't know anything about him, you might think, okay, maybe he's fine. I didn't find him as offensive with her as he was with everybody else. But I did love that somebody served pizza with pineapple just to like piss him off. I thought that was really funny. Pizza. I don't even know what his name is anymore. I thought it was funny because Peter actually said he could not wait to go on the date and tell stories about himself, his life story, and how he has come to where he is today, and he needs his pizza queen. And I thought to myself,
yeah, that was cute.
He's no, it wasn't. It was gross.
He's the pizza king and he's looking for his pizza queen.
It was gross. I was like, you can't wait to go on this date to talk about yourself. And you said that out loud. Like, why would you say that out loud?
True.
And poor Brittany, she's like, I'm so excited. This is my first one-on-one ever.
Well, you know, when she was saying that, I thought to myself, people have come on the show numerous times and gotten completely different arcs and redemptions.
Yes.
You know, look at Shanae, who we all despise. I don't think I've hated a character in Bachelor Nation as much as I dislike Shanae.
Yeah.
And now
she's fine.
She's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw him coming down, I'm like, oh my God, it's an annoying pizza guy. But I did think, oh, well, he'll have a different arc. No, he's the same.
He's literally the same. And Casey said, like, he's a douchebag, but maybe he can redeem himself.
No,
and I think he even said, look at Shanae, right? But
right.
Peter was there to promote himself and his business. And so I loved how everybody was referring to him. And it was also childish, but it's so true and a little bit maybe more deserved than, I don't know. So then cut to the date. So him and Brittany are on this gorgeous yacht.
Yes.
I mean, that was amazing. And he's talking about pizza and how pizza's loyal. And then they went swimming and he goes, what was the first thing you noticed about me?
And she says his eyes. And then he says, and what else?
Yeah. And he goes, he told her he won best eyes in high school. He was voted best eyes in high school. I was like, okay.
It's possible this is taken out of context. They were probably together it seems like they were together for a really long time.
Yeah, too long.
I felt so bad for Brittany. She was stuck on that boat and couldn't get off, I guess. I mean, I wondered if they docked and went out to dinner and she was forced to be, whatever. You know, maybe if they were talking for 6 straight hours and they just pulled out,
I don't think so, because she made a comment that said, I've never been on a date before where they are more interested in themselves.
Yes, he showed his hand from the first 5 minutes. I don't know how she survived that. Whole entire date with him. He was just disgusting.
But her commentary was funny.
Yes.
You know, she just would say, like, no matter how nice anything is, like, the yacht's amazing. That's like, this is the most beautiful romantic setting in the whole world. It all depends on who you're with. And then he was talking about how him and his buddies are on yachts on the weekends and his jet ski. And like,
oh, he just bought a jet ski.
He just bought the jet ski. Like, brag, brag, brag.
So this was funny. I went through and watched the whole date again, even though it was painful, even the first time. I watched it again because she was so earnest and excited. And I just wanted to see the moment that she suddenly turned.
Yeah.
And it was just interesting because she was like, oh, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden you could just tell, I am not into you at all.
No.
How badly it took her so long to figure it out.
I know, but like, he was totally feeling her. He said something like, oh, she's so cute. Felt like, you know, she caught his eye in the beginning. And then.
But she was right to say, what's wrong with him? He can't read the room. She was clearly not into him, and he was clueless.
He went in for the kiss, and then she was like, yeah, I'm a little slow with that stuff. I'm not touchy-feely. Yeah, and she said, read the room. She could not wait to get back. And it was just funny how she was describing it to other people, too.
Whole scene was very entertaining because he's talking to a couple guys, and she was talking to the women, and they kept going back and forth. And well, it was interesting because, of course, we knew what she was going to say. He was repulsive. I couldn't stand the date. But what was interesting, do you remember what he said?
Yeah.
He was saying, oh, I know these girls from Florida. She's an influencer model.
But he started saying it was fun and he was really flirty. And it was on her. Like, the vibe was there.
Right.
Every box was checked. He went in for a kiss, but nothing. So to your point, he was like, she must there's no way she couldn't like me. So she must have an ulterior motive just to get followers to be on the show. Because if she doesn't like me, then nobody's going to have her.
As if in the middle of the date, she realized he didn't have enough followers. So it wasn't a worthwhile match for her to continue dating him because it wouldn't get her more followers. Right. And that really is not the case.
But the best part was he's like, I was witty. I was smart. I was charming. I was humble. I mean, he was literally saying this verbatim to the guys. And I thought, you literally have no self-awareness. So I remember talking about this during the season that he was on, Michelle's season, and we wondered if he watched it back and was ashamed or like, did it give him perspective or some kind of awareness? It didn't because he came on and did all the same things. So now is he going to watch this back and be like, look at me. I was amazing. I still don't understand why she didn't want me.
I don't understand what he thought was humble. Like, maybe he actually bought 5 jet skis, but he just told her about one.
Maybe. Like, what was it that he felt was humble?
Right, enough of them. I don't know why he thinks
that was weird. But I did love, though, when they came back, Brandon was telling Andrew he should go talk to Brittany. She had a terrible day. And then they end up hanging out together.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a surprise. Right. I just didn't expect that. I don't think either of them expected it either. So they're like the new couple now.
I know. I was happy. But we didn't really see much of them.
No, they went to Wells is like, just go to a day bed and and that worked out.
So speaking of the complete opposite of not seeing much of a couple, what about Jacob and Jill's date?
Oh, my goodness gracious. First of all, they are like made for each other. They're equally weird. I think people even made that comment. Like, they're just both really strange.
Although I did hear someone say, she's quirky. They're not really the same. She's quirky and he's boring, which I think is, he's weird. She's quirky. I do think he's kind of boring, though.
Yes, and yes, he is boring, but he also gets into the same kind of quirkiness that she has.
That whole howling thing that kept happening.
Right. So the date's a great example of that. So they go on this one-on-one date and they get to this full moon ceremony. So there's this shaman or something. Right. And so they were saying full moon, there's like creative and sexual energy. The skin will take energy. So they have to go to these crystals and go through all these things. And then they did this tantric breathing exercise.
Which apparently he breathes frequently.
Yes, apparently he does. He said it oxidizes the blood and lowers inflation when he meant to say inflammation.
I'm like, lowers inflation. I mean,
cool, exactly. We gotta figure that out.
What was our favorite line from there? Did you write this down? When you go underwater, you realize how valuable air is. Said he went to her room.
Oh my god, that's so perfect. But so then they're like breathing, and then they're breathing faster and faster, right? And then they howl. I was like, that looks actually kind of fun. I mean, the breathing thing would be weird, but whatever. Yeah, and then they did the massage. They were like, with the oil, whatever that was. And then the shaman asked if they were comfortable being naked.
And Jill is feeling weird about it, but she decides to do it because she trusts him. Why would she trust
him? I don't know. Maybe that's a safe space.
She can't think of anyone she'd rather be with. And they kiss.
But I do feel like in that situation, I kind of agree. Like, who else could she do that with? Because he's so out there and walks around in a leaf. And I feel like he's probably the right guy for that. The thing I thought was interesting, when the shaman asked Jacob what he likes most about Jill, I wasn't expecting this to be a body parts discussion.
You were thinking something about her personality.
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe that's what they were trying to say. Cause he's like her buttocks. And then she said his arms.
He's not the deepest.
No, I thought that, I don't know. So I thought their date was great. I mean, clearly they had so much fun with one another. They seemed really into each other. And then of course, coming back to the beach, comes Kira.
Oh, were you surprised to see Kira?
I actually was surprised to see her. I didn't expect her to be that into Jacob. And she's like, we have some unfinished business. What were your thoughts on that whole situation?
Well, my thoughts were, sadly, producers are at it again. She's sitting in a hotel room. And they said, well, if we could think of something, we'll send you back. And so she's waiting and waiting. And then Jill and Jacob go on this date and they really seem to get along, all quirkiness aside. They seem to be a nice little couple there. And then the producers say, hey, Kira, let's have you come on and put a wrench in that. And so,
I mean, enough with the Kira and Jill. Like, Jill cannot catch a break in a lot of these cases. I do have to say, though, if Kira were on that date with Jacob, it would have been equally bizarre slash a right match.
For sure.
But
she would have held her own in the quirky, weird category.
Yeah, it took so long when they were talking. Everyone's like, WTF. So I love that Brittany went over there. I was like, what are you doing? Jill just left.
I think it was just too complicated to for Jacob to really grasp. Like, he didn't want to be with her, but he was trying to be nice. And I don't know. Yes, I'm glad Brittany went over there and was like, okay, let's wrap this up. Jill is upstairs upset. And then he did, you know, bye, safe travels.
Right, exactly. I'm out. And I loved that he went up and went after Jill. That was actually a really nice moment that I thought was handled well.
He told Jill, I'm sticking with you.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yes. I thought so too. So Romeo grabs Kira as she was walking out, which I thought was really strange. What did you think of that? Like, he came out of nowhere.
I just saw her walking along the beach, holding her shoes and just whatever. And then, he just walks up to her. I was a little surprised. Everything Romeo does surprises me, though.
He's just desperate, maybe. Right. But it's not like she walked in with a rose or a date card. Right. But she told him that she got the clarity that she needed. And she came back and now realized that this man doesn't accept her. And she's too much for some people.
She says people don't get her. But then she says to Romeo, but you did.
But you did, right. You were always so accepting. And then he's crying. Like, why are you crying?
I don't know. He cries as much as anyone on this show. He says he wished he'd given his rose to Kira. She asked him, are you glad you gave your rose to Jill?
Like, did you make the wrong decision?
And he says he wished he had given his rose to Kira over Jill. Kira says, I wish we had a second chance. She just sounded extremely desperate.
Well, both of them did, because if Romeo were still with Jill, he would not regret it. But
He
basically screwed her over by trying to go and get with Brittany, and then she rejected him after that. And so I think both of them are just like, okay, well, you're the last one standing at the bar. You're my only shot. Yeah, let's go. And then she asks him to leave paradise with her.
Right.
I was shocked.
Well, he was clearly shocked too. Talk about a long time for an answer. It seemed like minutes went by. He didn't know what to say.
I felt that way too. And by the way, his face looked completely horrified. I mean, he just I wasn't sure what was going through his head at that moment.
Before he says he'll go? Or after
Both. Both, yes. I thought. But I didn't understand. I guess he's probably calculating in his head, I'm not getting a rose. This is my only shot at love. I may as well just leave and spare myself from the torture.
I really don't know if he was thinking this is my only shot at love, but possibly. But I think he was, took him a while to come to it, but he was not getting a rose at the next ceremony. And this way he could sort of save face.
Exactly. And then they were both like, well, we did paradise right. Oh, we explored other connections and came back to each other. I was like, really? Because it just felt like a spontaneous moment.
And she's talking in the moment, and he's looking frightened.
Frightened. Yes. I'm like, so do we think they're still together? I've been trying to read to figure that out. What have you seen?
I have seen a little bit that makes it seem like they're not together.
Yeah.
But they follow each other still. They didn't, like, he follows Jill on Instagram.
He follows everybody, I think.
It doesn't, he made a TikTok recently that seems to imply that he's not with her. I'm just curious if they really left and had any kind of relationship at all.
Right.
Or they just left and like, okay, that was fun. Like,
yeah.
See you back in
maybe,
New York.
Or maybe they hooked up that night because they were both desperate and then, finished it off. Mm-hmm. But I think that was pretty much it. I did like Michael and Casey watching everybody playing football, and they were like those two guys from the Muppets.
Yes, actually, that was really funny.
They talked about James No Neck, who's only there because he knows Aaron. I was like, what? I didn't think that was so nice, though.
Brandon throws the football, and Casey says, that reminds me of when he threw the ring into the ocean. Same form or something.
Exactly. I love Casey. Like, if he could just sit in the corner and narrate, that would make me really happy.
Sure.
I love him. Yeah, I think that is pretty much it. Let's talk about next week. What did you see in the previews?
Well, shockaroo, Jill's crying.
What?
Genevieve is crying, saying, this is insane. I want to go home. But they show some good-looking relationships, but then they announce chaos comes to paradise. So they show the guys and the girls right before the rose ceremony. There's somebody in there I didn't even recognize. So someone else is coming on. I mean, we know other people are coming.
Yeah, probably somebody before the rose ceremony, because right. then they showed the whole switcheroo where they take like six girls out and replace them to see if their relationships can stand the test of time.
Right.
I'm kind of interested in that because you do see like Logan's hooking up with somebody else. I think right. Jacob might have been hooking up with right. somebody
he
else.
Says, if Jill even knew I was talking to another girl, no. And I then mean, you see him kissing her. So,
yeah, poor know. Jill.
Poor Jill is the theme of
this. It is the whole season.
Then there's some kind of medical emergency.
Oh, did somebody punch Peter? I mean, maybe me. I was trying to think of who else or what else could have happened and who it was. I was trying to look really closely.
I don't know. We'll find out next week. So the women have to pack their bags. They show everyone sitting on the... They show a lot of them sitting around. But we know Michael's still there. They didn't show him, but we don't know what the
story is. Yeah, I do feel like he stays.
We don't know what's going on with that. Anyway, so these five, they show five women arriving. I don't know if more than that arrived, but they show five. And a couple of them look familiar, but I didn't know who all of them
were. Yeah, I think Eliza was there maybe. Yeah, well, we'll save that all for next week.
Logan had a great line at the end of that. He said, question is, what's the right thing to do and what will I do?
Ooh, dun, dun, dun. I'm excited for that. Okay, good. Well, I'm looking forward to that. So we have two episodes next week. So we will be back with lots more to recap for you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at final_rose_tonight, or you can subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. We will see you next week. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.